Good morning, Azalea City. It's great to see you. We are so thankful to be here today. We are certainly thankful to have the technology, as we mentioned. Every week now, I guess, between Sunday and Wednesday, we're so thankful to have technology to be able to come to you. We certainly do miss everyone.
Absolutely.
We can't wait to get back together and be able to enjoy our time together, our hugs together, our fellowship together, and our worship together. But at the same time, we are thankful to be able to bring our worship to you today. And Justin is certainly a good man for being able to be here so that we can do this together. And we want you to go ahead and not get distracted because it's worship, but if you'll go ahead and share this, let's get it out to as many people as we can. There's a share button if you're on Facebook that you can go ahead and share it. A lot of people are watching through our live stream. In fact, more views come through our live stream.
Absolutely.
But those who are there, feel free to go ahead and do it. And again, thanks to Theo, Robert, and so many others who work real hard behind the scenes. But what we want to do now is, as well.
I'd like to welcome you to our worship this morning. And to get into our lesson today, we've titled this, Expect the Spectacular. And we've said that a lot. We've asked you to hashtag some certain things, maybe post those on our Facebook page and just showing our church family expecting the spectacular. And I think it's going to be a great study today. And Terry prayed for us before we even opened up our worship, before live stream got kicked on. And you prayed for our family to remain close through this, our church family to remain close. And watching the comments and watching the ones that have joined, and even Wednesday night, we talked at the end about how it was obvious that our church family loves each other.
No,
the love is certainly around this place, and even if you're not here in this auditorium with us this morning, we know that you're here in spirit, and obviously with you watching and commenting, we're so thankful for you. I know you are like me. I've gotten texts over the last week, a few days, throughout this whole crisis, throughout this whole mess, of people just encouraging us and lifting us up and thanking us. And so we want to make sure that this worship service is that for you today. Again, expect the spectacular. I believe we can do that, and we certainly need to do that through this time of crisis. We've mentioned multiple times that we need to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And if we are going to continue to do that and do that effectively, we have to expect the spectacular. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 43. And let me get to that before I read it. How about that? Isaiah chapter 43, verses 12 and 13. And after I read this, I'm going to open us up in prayer this morning. First, I predicted your rescue. Then I saved you and proclaimed it to the world. No foreign God has ever done this. You are witnesses that I am the only God, says the Lord. From eternity to eternity, I am God. No one can snatch anyone out of my hand. No one can undo what I have done. Let's pray together this morning. Father God, we come to you humbled this morning, just so thankful that you're our God. So thankful that you created us in your image, that you created us to be perfect people. And Father, even when we messed that up, you saw it fit to send Jesus Christ to die for our sins. You predicted our rescue, Father. You sent Jesus to save us from our sins. Father, I pray that we can go from here and be the hands and feet of Jesus. I pray that we can go and be witnesses to all the world that you're the only God that can do that, that you are the only God who saves, that you're the one true living God. And Father, I pray that as we strive to worship you this morning, even though it's in a way that's not normal, I pray that we can do that with our entire hearts. I pray that we can do that in a way that's pleasing and acceptable to you. Father, I pray that we will lift your name up this morning. Thank you for your love. Father, thank you for our church family. I pray your blessing upon each and every one of them. I pray that we remain safe through this crisis. I pray that we all remain healthy. I pray that no one contracts the coronavirus. But Father, also I pray for our entire country and our entire world. Father, I pray that this crisis ends soon. Father, as we said many times, we look forward to this great reunion that we're going to have, this opportunity we're going to be able to be in the presence of each other again. And Father, we long for that, and we pray for that to come sooner rather than later. But Father, through this time, I pray that we will make the best use of it. I pray that we will strive to grow closer to you. I pray that we will strive to grow closer and love our families more. Father, thank you for loving us. Again, thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for the hope of heaven that He provides us. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. In just a moment, we'll have a song that will direct our minds for the Lord's Supper. Before we have that song, I want to share with you the reminder that if we're going to expect the spectacular, we have to remember that it has to be centered at the cross.
Mm-hmm.
The spectacular happened on that day 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ resurrected from the grave. Again, it's amazing to me that a man can raise himself from the dead. It's happened one time. And again, Jesus helped raise a lot of people from the dead, but He raised Himself.
Mm-hmm.
He overcame death. He overcame the grave. He overcame sin so that the spectacular can happen. Today we're gathered here to think about the cross, to think about what's going on in the world, yes, but we want to put all that behind us today. We want to focus on Jesus. We want to focus on God. We want to focus on His Spirit. So at this time, we're going to direct our minds to the Lord's Supper as we have a song at this time. That's a beautiful song,
mm-hmm.
knowing that we're not alone
Mm-mm.
in Christ alone.
That's right.
If you have your emblem that has the Lord's Supper, unleavened bread, and the juice in it, if you will at this time, go ahead and undo the top layer. That way we won't be distracted as we think about this. And then we'll partake of the bread. But I want to direct our minds to a very beautiful section of Scripture that Peter recorded through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in 1 Peter. This is 1 Peter chapter 1 now, beginning in verse 17. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing, and this is part of the spectacular. We've got to know this. We've got to have confidence in this. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. Gold is very valuable. Diamonds are valuable. There's a lot of things that are valuable that we know of. But those things at the end of the day will be consumed. They will be melted down. They will be burned up in fire. We were not redeemed with those things. We were redeemed with the spectacular. In verse 19, you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest or made known in these last times for you, who through Him believe in God, and who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. As we remember Jesus' broken body, I want you to think about the spectacular. I want you to think about that sacrifice. I want you to think about He was broken, He was bruised, He was beaten for each and every one of us. Bring it home personally. He did that for me, for you. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Jesus Christ. We thank You for Him being so willing to go to the cross, despising the shame. Father, and He, knowing that He was going to be beaten, He was going to be made fun of, He was going to be ridiculed, He was going to be alone. Father, He did it for us. Thank You, God, that we were redeemed by Jesus Christ. As we remember His broken body now, we ask Your blessings on this bread. Father, not only help us to remember as we break it in our mouths, to remember Jesus' broken body, Father, help us not only remember it right now, Help us to remember it for all of our lives until we partake of it with Him again in eternity. It's our prayer in His name. Amen.
Pull the other part back as we'll partake of the juice here in just a moment. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, as he is discussing to the church of Corinth the Lord's Supper, he records the words of Jesus as Jesus is instituting the Lord's Supper. He says, in the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." You said it was the precious blood of Christ that redeemed us. And that is something, as we partake right now, we're not doing it just for this Sunday morning. We'll do it every Sunday morning. But it's an opportunity for us to proclaim the Lord's death until He returns. He is going to come back. He's going to come and He's going to share that communion with us one day. But now is an opportunity for us to remember the sacrifice of Jesus, the blood that He poured out so that you and I could be redeemed from our sins. Let's pray for the cup at this time. Father, we continue our thanks for Jesus Christ. We're thankful for His willingness to go to the cross on our behalf. We're thankful for the blood that He spilled that was able to cover a multitude of sins. Father, we're thankful for the opportunity that blood represents in cleaning our slate and making us perfect and complete in Your eyes, putting us back in the right relationship with You. Father, I pray that as we partake of this blood, that we'll remember the sacrifice of Jesus, that we'll focus back on the cross, we'll focus back on His life and everything that He did for us, and ultimately His resurrection. Father, I pray that we will proclaim this until the Lord comes back. Father, thank You for Jesus. Thank You for His sacrifice. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
And at this time, separate from the Lord's Supper, we're going to go ahead and allow the opportunity to give. I do want you to know that Justin and I are so blessed to work for the church, not only in a just everyday capacity because it's part of our lives, but because it's also our jobs as well. And there are things that are still going on. You know, we are still striving to help people. We're still striving to pay missionaries and be able to continue the Lord's work. We do know and recognize that this time can bring some hardships, but at the same time, we're going to remember that God wants us to give. He's going to take care of us. He's going to provide for us. You have a couple ways this morning to do that. There is an app called Tithely that there's been information sent out. If you don't have that information, we will be glad to give it to you after our worship service, but I was able to give through Tithely this morning myself. And so we want you to have that opportunity. We want to be thankful for what God's given us, and we want to pray for relief. But at the same time, if you want to give that way, you want to send your check in, please, we encourage you to do that, and we'll make that opportunity available at this time. Let's pray. Father, we love You so much, and we're so thankful to be Your children. We're so thankful, Father, that You have blessed us to be able to live in this country, to live in this country that is free. Father, we have so many men and women who have given their lifeblood and their lives to keep us free. Father, I pray for our leaders of this nation. I pray, Father, that they will make decisions that are based on Your will for our people. Father, that we will continue to be free, that we'll have relief from this deadly virus, and that we'll be able to have people go back to work that maybe are not working. And Father, that jobs will be plentiful, that the economy will flourish, Father. But most of all, we want the church to flourish. We want the church to be that city, that light, that hope. Father, help us to be the hands and feet of You. Thank You, Father, for the privilege that I have personally to be able to I don't even think of this as my job. Father, it's just such a blessing to work in Your kingdom. And Father, I pray that You will be with many who are affected by this, that You will help us to reach them, to reach out to them, to encourage them. Father, we thank You for the blessings we have. We thank You for Jesus, who not only gave us His life, His blood, but Father, He taught us it's more blessed to give than to receive. Help us to adopt that mindset, that attitude. Thank You for Jesus, our prayer in His name. Amen. Now into our lesson for today. Justin and I have enjoyed this tag team preaching. I know I have. I know it's kind of awkward to just sit at a screen. And again, a lot of my preaching buddies are doing that, and I admire them for it. But Justin and I kind of get together and we come up with a topic, and we want it to be applicable to our lives today, certainly. And so, as Justin mentioned from the outset, we're expecting this spectacular. We're expecting God to show up. I know that's kind of something I adopted, and hopefully you're adopting that in your life, that we're going to launch into the deep, Luke chapter 5. We're going to drop down our nets, and we're going to expect the spectacular to happen. He read to us in our scripture reading this morning from Isaiah 43:12-13, and I want to go back there. Justin reminded us of the importance of this scripture, but I also want to focus on it again as we get our minds expecting God and remembering who God is. In verse 12, Isaiah pens, "First I predicted Your rescue, then I saved You and proclaimed it to the world." You know, isn't that special? You know, when good things happen, when our children were born, when we got married, especially our wives, that was a big day for them. I mean, it was a big day for us, but it was a big day for them. Pictures and mamas and everybody taking pictures and sharing that good news, sending out invitations, the same with our children. We want to proclaim that good news to the world. Well, here's what God said. He said, "I saved you, and I want the world to know that." Because no foreign god, as you mentioned earlier, has ever done this. "You're witnesses that I am the only God," says the Lord. And this is my favorite part of all of this. "From eternity to eternity, I am God." That will never be an end. He will always be God. No one can snatch anyone out of my hand. No one can undo what I have done. Where we currently sit in this country, not in these chairs per se, but in this country, in this world right now, where we currently sit, it is in a word that we've heard a lot, the word pandemic. And I knew what a pandemic was, but I wanted to kind of give that, since we hear it so much, what is it? Well, by definition, it is a disease prevalent over a whole country or the world. So when you think of a disease that is prevalent over a whole country or the world, and you've got people, like we just mentioned, without jobs, without sources of income, maybe reduced sources of income, different things going on, what happens? Well, you're in a crisis. We're in a crisis mode. Well, what's a crisis? A crisis is a time of intense difficulty, trouble, or danger. So as we sit right now, we are in a pandemic that has brought forth a crisis. We're in trouble. We're in danger. There's a lot going on. Now, we could also say that sin did that, right?
Yep.
We can also say that this is not the first time our country or our world has been in a pandemic or a crisis or both. So the question has to be, what do we do? Since we're in this right now, we're currently in it, what do we need to do? Well, we've already said it. We need to launch out into the deep. We need to expect the spectacular to happen. So I want you to know that our text for today was a crisis. The church is blowing and going in Acts chapter 2. Peter stands up, preaches that first gospel sermon, the good news, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. At the end of that, or really in the middle of his sermon, they interrupt him because they want to know, how do I get out of this? How do I get this crisis off of me, this pandemic of sin out of me? Peter tells them, repent, be baptized, every one of you. 3,000 of them respond. Acts chapter 3, they heal the lame man at the gate called Beautiful. The number grows to 5,000 men. Then the number keep growing. Acts 4, Peter and John are in prison and they can't help but keep teaching about the name of Jesus Christ. Ultimately, the numbers are growing by multitudes. Well, all this gets people stirred up. The devil's not happy. The devil wasn't happy with the church, so he's going to try to derail it any way he can So we're in the middle of a pandemic. Remember, disease doesn't come from God. Sickness doesn't come from God. God created us in a perfect world, an uncursed world. The devil got involved and cursed it all. So he wants the church. Again, there are six people here, more than that, maybe seven or eight here today.
Not more than ten.
Not more than ten, for sure. Here today, and we're plenty spread out, except you and me. Anyhow, there are things that are going on, and he wants doors to shut on churches. He wants things to stop. Well, he wanted that in the beginning, too. When the church started in Acts 2, he tried his best to get it to be destroyed. The church will never be destroyed, but in Acts 12, they faced some trouble. So if you will, go ahead and read the crisis that they're in Acts 12, 1 through 4.
About that time, Herod the king laid violent hands on some who belonged to the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword, and when he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. This was during the days of unleavened bread, and when he had seized him, he put him in prison, delivering him over to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out to the people. Verse 5 here, so Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church.
All right, so what is the crisis? Well, the crisis is one of the key figures in the early church, Peter. Again, we're not lauding man over anything, but remember now, Peter, in Matthew 16, Jesus asked the disciples there, who do people say that I am? And they said, well, some say you're John the Baptist, Jeremiah, one of the other prophets, Elijah, one of the other prophets. He said, who do you? He wanted to know who is, again, now, it's a mentality of, I don't want to be in the temporal. Right now, this pandemic of COVID-19 coronavirus is temporal, but we're caught up in it.
Right.
Jesus said, don't think in the temporal. I want you to set your mind out of this world. Get out of the shallow waters of faith. Get into the deep waters of faith. And so with it, he said, Peter, who do you say that I am? Who do the disciples? Again, he spent 3 years trying to change their attitudes to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Peter said, I say you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So he said, and I say to you, Simon, Bar-Jonah, son of Jonah, son, you are no longer Simon, you're Peter, because you're going to be the rock. And on the rock that I am the Son of God, I'll build my church. And the gates of Hades or the gates of hell or nothing else will prevail against it. And he gave Peter those keys. Yes. Peter took those figurative keys in Acts 2 and unlocked the door to the church. So here's this key figure. The man that they know and they trust and they're looking to, he's been put in prison. So what do we do? Now, I've not been put in prison, but some of us feel like we're in prison.
Sure.
Because we can't get out, we can't be here, we can't hug, we can't love, we can't do those things. So what do we do? Well, we got to do what the church did here in Acts 12. And the first thing they did was pray passionately. And I'm going to send this to you in just a moment, Justin. But look back, you read verse 5, and I'm glad you did. In verse 5 it says, but while Peter was in prison, the church prayed very earnestly for him. Now, prayer is critical. Justin is going to tell us a lot more about prayer here.
Yeah, what's very interesting to me is it's not written there that the church prayed for Peter. It's very earnestly. So you have this point of, let's pray passionately. James chapter 5 and verse 16 tells us that the prayer of a righteous man can avail much, can do much good. I want to list three passionate prayers of Jesus. I mean, who else could we look to in this point of, hey, who can model passionate prayer for us? Well, Jesus certainly gave us the model prayer, right? But also he showed us how we can pray passionately. Here's three passionate prayers of Jesus. Number one was Jesus prayed a prayer of gratitude during a period of grief in his life. Mm-hmm. In John chapter 11, you know, Lazarus has died. A friend of his has passed away. In verse 40, he tells the people around him, if you believe in me, or if you believe me, you will see the glory of God. In John chapter 11 and verse 41, Jesus prays this to the Father. Before he raises Lazarus from the dead, he says, Father, I thank you for you have heard me. In a period of grief where Jesus has wept for his friend, where he feels sorrowful for all the people around, he prays to God and says, Father, I thank you for you have heard me. How many times, and I was kind of thinking about this as I was driving over here this morning, how many times do we go to God in prayer and just say, God, thank you for hearing me?
Wow, yeah.
Because there's not a lot of times that maybe, and I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but maybe there's not a lot of times that we do that. Sure, we pray prayers of thanksgiving, right? We pray when certainly we need something, when we're in a crisis, when we want something from God. But how many times do we go to God and just say, God, listen, thank you for hearing me? You know, so I think that's a great example by Jesus to pray a prayer of gratitude in a period of grief. And certainly we're in a grief period here, right? Where there are people passing away from this pandemic, from this virus. There is all this bottled up energy that we have no idea what to do. Some people are having to be furloughed from their jobs in this time. Some businesses are having to shut down. It could be a prayer or a time of grief for us. We need to make sure we're praying prayers of gratitude. A second one is in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 39. Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? And praying so passionately that blood starts to drop from his eye, from his forehead. And in that, he does not want to die, right? He, at this point, maybe the most human side of Jesus that we see, that he does not want to go to the cross for us, right? He's just agonizing over what's about to come, the beating that's about to take place, the blood being spilt out for us. And he goes and he prays to God. And he says, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Another great example. We're not in a period of intense agony like Jesus was, but we can use this opportunity to make sure that, hey, we're thanking God for hearing us, and sure, our avenue of prayer is to allow our let our wants and wishes be known to God, but we can also go to God and say, hey, defeat me in anything that's against your will.
Right.
Don't let it just be my will. God, I want it to be your will, or your will to be done in this situation. I certainly pray for God's will through this pandemic, through this crisis state, for God's will to be done. And third one, I'll kick it back over to you, Terry, is a prayer of forgiveness. In Luke chapter 23 and verse 34, as Jesus is being killed, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Maybe this is a time for you to reflect, a time for all of us to sit back, reflect, take more time with our family, certainly more time with God. Maybe there's people in our lives we just need to forgive, because what we're mad over is really not that important.
Right.
And even though Jesus could have been really mad because what he was facing was really important, that we can have that same type passionate prayer, praying to God, forgiving people of what they've done to us. Man, Father, they just don't really understand yet. But instead of me being mad at them, let me be the hands and feet of Jesus. Let me help bring them to you, right? Three passionate prayers: a prayer of gratitude in a period of grief, a prayer for God's will to be done, and a prayer for forgiveness. And I think we can certainly pray those passionate prayers in our own life through this pandemic.
I like everything you said, but I especially like something that I haven't thought about, and of course I love alliteration, so
yeah.
You got it in there.
Yeah.
When Jesus prayed and taught us to have gratitude during grief, man, that is so powerful. And my mind went back, and my in-laws are watching this, and my wife is sitting out here, and so I certainly don't want to bring up a lot of sadness, but my wife's grandmother, my father-in-law's mother, and dad were on the way to worship one morning, May of 2000 now. Boy, that's hard to believe, almost 21 years or 20 years ago. They were hit by a drunk driver. And my grandmother-in-law, her life was taken. Ultimately, my father-in-law's dad, you know, it was a battle for him as well. But we get to the funeral, and Uncle Jay, who is a minister in the church, he led a prayer at that funeral. And I'm a 1 year out of college, so I'm 22 years old, sitting in that funeral service, listening to a man of God say a prayer. And in that prayer, at the funeral, still fresh on their minds, a man who wasn't sorry, now this guy who was a drunk driver had showed no remorse, But he prayed in that prayer for that man's soul. And he thanked God that we had that opportunity to do that. And you know, that taught me a lesson. That in some of the greatest tragedy that you could imagine, man, wouldn't it be special to think about others? That's how the spectacular happens. So that leads us really to point number two in all of this. Remember now, they were praying passionately in Acts 12, verse 5. They were praying without ceasing in all circumstances. So it got them to the point. What did prayer do? It got them to focus faithfully. Here we are. We started out January, everybody excited, great crowds, everything going on. Our theme is focus. We're going to focus this year. And then a lot of distraction came.
No question.
Man, the devil said, no, that's not a good theme. 2020, I'm going to show y'all. Y'all are going to be out of focus. We're going to send this sickness, this virus, these things. It's going to mess up the world. And it has. In Acts 12, Peter, one of their leaders in the church, one of the apostles, they were going by the apostles' doctrine. He's inspired by the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit. He's put in prison. Wow, that's huge. That's significant. Herod's thinking, I've got him. The devil's thinking, I've got him. So they go and they pray and they get focused. So what do we need to focus on? I really got more meat in this, in this topic than any of the others. Because if the spectacular is going to happen, we've got to focus on these four things in our opinion. Number one, God, focus on this. God cannot be stopped despite what evil is thrown against him. Mm-hmm. Now go back and listen to verses 1 through 3 again. About that time, Herod, the king, laid violent hands on some who belonged to the church. That's a pandemic of evil right there, a crisis. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. This was during the days of unleavened bread. So not only has he arrested Peter, but now you've got James, who's been killed by the sword. And so this fear has come over the church. This terror has come over the church. And so what do they need to do? They need to focus. What do they need to focus on? God, who no matter what evil is thrown against him, Herod in this specific case, God cannot be stopped.
2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7 mentions there that we are people that walk by faith and not by sight. Maybe we don't need to focus on all the bad things around us necessarily, but we need to keep our faith, right? We need to walk by faith, that substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things that is unseen or that has not been seen. Keep our faith in God who has never been outdone, to go back to Isaiah chapter 43.
That's right.
No foreign God has ever done what God has done. So let's not focus on what the devil's doing around us so much. Let's not walk by our sight, but let's walk by our faith.
That's right. When things like that happen, we tend to put the focus on us.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk more about that, but we've got to remember that God is so much bigger than us.
Mm-hmm.
He's so much bigger than this world.
Mm-hmm.
He's so much bigger than anything we can imagine. And so we've got to keep our minds, our hearts, and our soul, our everything we've got, focused on Him. Secondly, under this point of focus faithfully, we need to focus that God cannot be stopped despite how humanly impossible the situation may seem. One thing we pointed out, I guess maybe last week now, was, and I pointed it out, I believe, on a Wednesday, we pointed out Wednesday night before that no, when the impossible happens, that was the Sunday before that, when we were last together,
yeah.
When no matter when the impossible happens, that's when God loves it the most.
That's
no
right.
matter how impossible the odds, no matter how much the odds are stacked against him, that's when he loves it the most, because God plus anything is a majority. God himself is a majority. So God plus you and me, we've got a majority, right? I want you to go back to verse 4 now of Acts 12. And when he had seized him, that's Peter, that's Herod seizing Peter, he put him in prison. That's bad enough. He chained him up, right? Delivering over, though, to listen to this, 4 squads of soldiers to guard him. I want you to think about this. Not only is Peter in prison, not only is he chained up behind bars, he's got 6
16 guards guarding him. He's not some mass murderer. He is guilty of teaching in the name of Jesus Christ. The odds are certainly stacked against Peter. But guess what?
You said, and I remember that last time we were all together, and I think that these are the exact words, that God thrives in the impossible, right? That He really shows up in that. I liken this situation, for me, is Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7 and 8. It's my favorite scripture in all the Bible. Teenagers, if you join class today, we're going to be studying that scripture. Maybe because of my forestry background. But it says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He's like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream, and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green, and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit." Now, I read a devotional here recently, and it described this verse, or had this verse as the main scripture, and the devotional thought showed a picture of an acacia tree. Okay? And in Bible times, it said these acacia trees would grow in the middle of the desert. And you're talking about insurmountable odds, right? There's no way that happens. Like, I know cactus or cacti, whatever, grow in the desert. But this is a tree that looks, just from a picture, like one of our live oak trees will look here in Mobile. It's growing pretty well. Right. It's full of branches. It's full of leaves. You would say it's a very healthy tree, and it's stuck in the middle of a desert. But this verse applies here that you and I are kind of like that. When we seem out of place, when things around us, the odds around us seem insurmountable, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. If you can make your trust or put your trust in God, we're going to be just like that tree. It's planted by the water. We send our roots out by the stream. We're basically linking into all of this water and nutrients, right? Spiritually speaking here, that no matter what trials come our way, no matter what heat or what drought comes our way, you and I are going to continue to be the hands and feet of Jesus, because our leaves are going to remain green and we're never going to cease to bear fruit.
That's right. When we focus faithfully, number one, that God can't be stopped no matter what evil's thrown against Him. Number two, no matter how many odds are stacked against Him. Then thirdly, we've got to remember God and focus on this. God can't be stopped by what we are doing about the situation or what we are not doing about the situation. Hear me out on that. I think we need to be praying, and I think we need to be vigilantly doing the things we're supposed to do. Quarantining, like the governor says, and washing our hands and all that stuff. I'm not saying that. But God's will is going to be carried out no matter what.
That's right.
And in this, I want to prove it to you. Look back at look down now, we haven't read this yet. Verse 6. "Now when Herod was about to bring him out on that very night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries before the door were guarding the prison." So we see here that Peter in this is not screaming out, "Help!" Peter's not trying to pick locks. Peter's not trying to get out. He's not trying to pull on them and bust them with some type of Samson power. He's just asleep. Now, on one hand, I admire Peter for that, man. He was calm. He knew God had that. But on the other hand, he wasn't doing anything on his own. He wasn't doing anything to get out. But guess what? God was still going to rescue him.
Verse 7 really cracks me up in this, because I think this is typical Peter, right?
Yeah.
Part of verse 6, they're sleeping. He says, "And behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up, saying, 'Get up quickly.'" I don't know how this happened. I can just envision this in my head. Like, if you were going to go into your child's room or somebody's room to wake them up, you might be like, "Hey, Peter. You know, wake up, Peter." No, it took, and you may gently nudge him, but no, it took this angel striking Peter to get him up. Exactly. So I can see that being typical Peter through this. But in this situation where we may be doing something about the situation or we may not be, we've got to always remember our God is faithful, and Scripture proves that to us. Our God is faithful at providing for us. Philippians 4 and verse 19 says that our God will meet all of your needs. God is faithful at lifting us up and encouraging us in a time of need. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, where Paul says that he began a good work in you, and Paul is very confident that he's going to carry this work on to its completion. So what we're doing here at Isaiah City, it's not going to stop because of the coronavirus or COVID-19 right. or Satan's not going to get in the way. Paul was telling the church at Philippi there that God had began this good work and he's going to see it to completion.
That's right.
That same thing's going to happen here at Isaiah City. And then God is faithful at strengthening us. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9 says, "My grace is sufficient to you." God's power is made perfect in weakness. And I can see this like Peter's maybe at a weak point here. He's surrounded by 16 guards. He's in chains. Right? The odds seem insurmountable. Maybe our odds seem insurmountable here. But God says that my grace is sufficient to you. Mm-hmm. His power is made perfect in our weakness.
That's right. You know, this wasn't the first time Peter went to sleep.
That's right.
Think back, you mentioned the Garden of Gethsemane earlier. Jesus, in really probably his most stressful time, I guess, on this earth. You know, he's battling with, and I think the human side of him was leading there in some ways that I'm not so sure. Yeah, I think it was the pain and the agony, but I really think it was the separation from his father mm-hmm. that was weighing heaviest on his... Again, the God side of him knew what was going to happen.
That's right.
And so he just asked his friends, his close friends, man, sit up with me.
Yep.
Wait with me. You know, it's like if I know you needed to talk, and you're talking and you're spilling your heart, and I'm like snoring on the other end. Like, how much am I really into that conversation, you know? Like, poor old Justin spilling his heart to me, but I'm sleeping.
Yep.
Well, Peter went to sleep in Gethsemane. Guess what happened? God's will still happened.
Yep.
Jesus still went to the cross. Mm-hmm. Whether we're sleeping or not, now I want us to wake up. God wants us to wake up. But no matter what's going on, God's will is still going to be done. And we got to rest in that.
Yep.
We got to find comfort in that, and we got to focus on that. But then fourthly, we got to remember that God cannot be stopped, and this is our final point on focus faithfully. God cannot be stopped despite the, listen to this, faithless prayers we offer up. Now, you referenced James earlier.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much."
Mm-hmm.
That means we need to know that God's going to hear our prayers and answer them. But go back to verse 5. You see here, I want us to prove this point out of this text. Verse 5, "So Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer," like you talked about, "for him was made to go, oh God, please free Peter, please free Peter, please free Peter. Now, I want us to read the rest of this. Stay with me. Now, verse 6, "When Herod was about to bring him out on that very night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries before the doors were guarding the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up, saying, 'Get up quickly.' And the chains fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, 'Dress yourself and put on your sandals.' And he did so. And he said to him, 'Wrap your cloak around you and follow me.' And he went out and followed him. He did not know that what was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision." He was in a good sleep there.
Mm-hmm.
"But when they had passed the first and the second guard, they came to the iron gate leading into the city. It opened for them of its own accord, and they went out." It's an amazing story.
Yes.
"It went out and went along one street, and immediately the angel left him. When Peter came to himself, he said, 'Now I am sure that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting.' When he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying." Again, they're still praying.
Mm-hmm.
"Please free Peter. Please free Peter. And when he knocked at the door of the gateway, a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer." I saw Rhoda join, by the way. This reminds me of you, Rhoda.
Yes.
No offense. I love you.
Absolutely. Very Rhoda thing coming up.
But here's Peter, and she's so excited, she just got to go tell somebody. Recognizing Peter's voice in her joy, she didn't even open the gate. But ran in and reported that Peter was standing at the gate. But here's what I want you to see. Rhoda goes to the people, says, "Peter is free, Peter's free. Oh, please, dear God, free Peter, free Peter, free Peter, please, dear God, free Peter." And they say in verse 15, "You are out of your mind."
Yep.
Wow. Boy, that hits home, doesn't it? "Please, God, take this virus away. I wonder if it's going to be gone.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, are we really believing?"
Mm-hmm.
do we really expect the spectacular?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do we really? Or are we saying, no, you're out of your mind. Mm-hmm. Where are we in this? We must, and here's point number three, expect the spectacular. What happened? Peter was freed. If you read on down, old Herod, who thought, I am the man, and in fact people are chanting, you are the voice of a God, not a man. God said, uh-uh.
Yeah.
Go back to Isaiah. I'm the only God.
Right.
He's struck down and eaten by worms. You see, the spectacular happened.
Mm-hmm.
The spectacular happened in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Yeah.
The spectacular happened in Acts chapter 2. The spectacular happened in Luke 5 when their nets were so full of fish. The spectacular happened when Peter walked out of that prison without any scratches on him. The spectacular happened when Herod was eaten. Do we expect the spectacular?
And you know, it says there later when Rhoda finally went back and Peter let Peter in and Peter comes to the people, they were amazed. Like, you and I don't have to be amazed at what God is going to do through this if we are expecting it to happen, right? Psalm chapter 126, and we'll read the entire psalm. I think it's just five or six verses here. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. Just as we read through Scripture and see how many times God has taken ordinary people and done extraordinary things, how many times God has saved us, how many times God has rescued us, how many times God has shown up in the impossible, you and I cannot stand. We will always be amazed at God, so hear me out on that. But we don't have to be incredibly amazed because we know God's going to show up. We are going to expect the spectacular. If you go back to our scripture reading again, Isaiah 43, and I'll kind of close out with this. I know you've got something to say to close out this portion of the worship service. When God says here, or through Isaiah, God is saying that I first predicted your rescue. God is a predictor. He's a savior. He's a proclaimer. He predicted our rescue. He saved us, and He's going to use us to proclaim all of that to the world. He is unlike no other God. There is no other God. Again, you referenced Herod there. There was no one like God. There's no other foreign God can do what God has done or what God will do. We are to be God's witnesses. We expect the spectacular. Go be the hands and feet of Jesus. Go launch out into the deep. Go make sure that the church shines through this pandemic. Go make sure that God gets the much deserved and the much needed praise, honor, and glory through all of this. Again, God is unchanging. He cannot be outdone. And what He has done for everyone that we read about in the Bible, He'll do the exact same thing for us.
That's right. Here's why. Let's finish out this reading thinking of the mindset of expecting the spectacular. Verse 16 now, Acts 12. Peter continued knocking, and when they opened, they saw him and were amazed. Sure they were,
mm-hmm.
because the spectacular happened.
Mm-hmm.
But motioning to them with his hand to be silent, he described to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. God needs to get the glory. And he said, tell these things to James and to the brothers. Then he departed and went to another place. Now when day came, there was no little disturbance among the soldiers over what had become of Peter. And after Herod searched for him, he did not find him. He examined the sentries and ordered that they should be put to death. Then he went down from Judea to Caesarea and spent time there. Now Herod was angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, and they came to him with one accord. And having persuaded Blastus, the king's chamberlain, they asked for peace because their country depended on the king's country for food. On an appointed day, Herod put on his royal robes, took his seat upon the throne, delivered an oration to them, and the people were shouting, the voice of a God and not of a man. Immediately, an angel of the Lord struck him down, that's what we were talking about, because he did not give God the glory. He was eaten by worms and breathed his last. But the word of God increased and multiplied. that's very important. The Word of God increased and multiplied. And of course, it goes on to talk about Barnabas and Saul. I want you to go back to verse 24. One version puts it this way. Meanwhile, the Word of God continued to spread, and there were many new believers. No matter what odds are stacked against God, He is still God. No matter what evil is stacked against God, He is still God. No matter how faithless my prayers are, He's still God. No matter what I do or don't do, His will still be done. So I still need to pray passionately and believe God's going to hear those prayers and answer them. I need to faithfully focus, and then I need to understand the spectacular is going to happen. What will be the spectacular? I'm not sure yet, but here's what I believe it's going to be. The church is going to be stronger than it's been in quite some time. You see, because we understand that no matter what the devil tries to throw at us, if we will do our part, the Word of God will continue to spread and many new believers will come. Church, we want to challenge you. We want to encourage you. We want to keep loving on you. We want you to know if you need us, if you need the elders, if you need this church, reach out to us. If you want to be baptized today, call me. Man, I'm coming to you. We'll make it happen. If you have something you need to pray about, give an elder a call. Give us a call. We'd be glad to do that. We love you. We appreciate you. Remember, God's got this. Family, God's got this. Expect the spectacular. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful for Your Word. We're so thankful for passages like Acts 12 where, man, we can just see You go to work and free Peter and the church continue to grow no matter what the devil was trying to stop it from doing. Father, here we are, 2020, and I believe the devil is still trying to keep the church from growing. I mean, literally, doors are shut and crowds are sparse and people are not even in a public gathering. But Father, we know that today that no matter what, Your will is still going to be done. Your name is still going to be glorified. And no matter how much the devil wants to try to get us to stop, Father, help us to not ever stop proclaiming Your name, being Your light, being Your salt. Father, help us to launch out into the deep. Help us to let down our nets. And help us to get ready for a raise of fish, a raise of souls that we can't carry on our own. Father, help us to expect the spectacular. Thank You for the great Bible that You've given us. Thank You for the great church. Thank You for the great Son that You've offered to us. Father, help those that need to come to know You, to come to know You. Help us to do our part. It's our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. You want to close out with announcements here?
Yeah. I want to reiterate, I know Roadrunners have a Bible class this afternoon.
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock. Teenagers, we are going to have a Bible class here at 12:30, the ones that weren't able to join last night. And then also want to tell some parents, especially of our outdoor Bible kids, sorry we did not have a craft or an activity this week, but what we're planning to do is I've gotten with Miss Tina and Miss Leisha, and we're going to try to put together a few weeks' worth of activities and stuff that they can do. We're going to film some or record some directions, and I'll post that to a YouTube page so you can go watch that link and maybe help your kids through that process. We want to make sure, you know, we take care of our adults around here. We've got Bible classes. We're trying to do our best to take care of teenagers. I know one-to-one had a class this morning, but we want to make sure that our younger ones are not left out at all. I know so many of you miss the children's contribution, and I wish there was a way we could do that. But we certainly are going to be putting out something this week to you. Whether it's we've got some supplies, if it's hard to find, and we'll put out here for parents to come pick up throughout the week, or if we just try to limit to where these will be, you know, supplies that parents will have at the house. Either way, remember for Outdoor Bible Kids, we're going to have stuff coming up this week. Teenagers, your class at 12:30. Roadrunners, your class at 5. And I believe that's all the announcements that I have.
All right. I just want to say before Justin, here's what will happen. Justin will close us in prayer, and then we'll have one more song. And I really mean this with everything I've got. I know how real depression can be. I know how real anxiety can be. And the more you're closed in, the harder it's going to be. If you don't have somebody to talk to, Justin and I have gone to school for this. Mm-hmm. I've experienced it. Please call us. Let us know. We will help you any way that we can. We love you, church. We love our church. We love those who are visiting our page, those who are watching. Please know if anybody needs anything to give us a call, and we will do our very best to help you out. This is temporal. Okay, set your minds on things eternal, but this right here is temporary. We'll be back together very, very soon. I feel very confident of that. I love you, church. I appreciate you. Thank you for all that you do. Justin, and then a song, and we'll see you this coming Wednesday night. Roadrunners, I'll see you at 5 o'clock.
Father, thank you for another opportunity we have to worship you. Father, it's under some unique circumstances, but we're so thankful for technology. We're so thankful for the ones that have worked so hard to put this together for us. And Father, I pray that you'll continue to bless us as a church family. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who was offered up on our behalf. Thank you for the hope of heaven that He provides. And Father, because of that, because of the faith, the hope, and the love that we have because of you and your grace and mercy, Father, I pray that we'll continue to be a church that is passionate in our prayer. I pray that we can continue to focus faithfully on you and on not on the craziness that is around us, not on Satan, not on all the temporal things, but Father, I pray that we can focus solely on you and on eternity. And Father, I pray that through all of this that we will always expect the spectacular to happen, because we know when it seems impossible to us, you're going to show up. Thank you again for loving us. Thank you for rescuing us. Thank you for saving us. And Father, I pray that we can go and be your hands and feet. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.